by thanking the organizer for giving UNICEF the opportunity to present the work that we are doing in the area of measurement on child disability, and particularly CDC and MIDGE for the invitation. Let me start by saying I have no relationship to disclose within the context of this presentation, because I have no commercial interest relevant to this presentation during the last 12 months. UNICEF has been involved in different data collection efforts in the area of child disability that have been conducted essentially at the country level, and in most cases in collaboration with local partners and international agencies. But today, for the purpose of this presentation, I would like to focus more specifically on our main activities in the area of data collection, and that specifically the work that we do within the context of the multiple indicator cluster surveys. The Multiple Indicator Cluster Surveys, or MICS, is a household survey program that has been developed by UNICEF in mid-90s to assist countries in the collection of data on the well-being of women and children. These are household surveys that have been designed to collect data and to provide evidence that can be used for advocacy, but also for programming and policies development at the national level. MICS have become a major source of data on different indicators, specifically, for instance, for the MDGs, the World Fit for Children goals, and other major international commitments. MICS collect data for more than 100 indicators that cover, as you can see in this slide, different areas of well-being, from nutrition, child health, mortality, child protection, education, HIV, and data are available by background characteristic of the child or the child family. So, for instance, you have data that can be disaggregated by sex, ethnicity, wealth, education. The MICS methodology is fully harmonized with the demographic and health surveys. And when I talk about harmonization, I refer obviously to the methodology, but also in terms of country coverage. We try not to go to the same countries because we want to avoid duplication of efforts. Since its first round that was conducted in 1995, we have conducted three main rounds of surveys. The first one was MICS 1 around 1995, the second round was MICS 2 around 2000, the third round was conducted in 2005 and 2006. And the current activities include the fourth round of MICS that is in the field as we speak, will be conducted, essentially has been conducted in 2011, and most of the country will be collecting data in 2012. In this map, you see how many countries collected data through the multiple indicator cluster surveys in the world. These are essentially low and middle income countries, because this is the country where we collect the data and we develop programs. So since this first round, that as I said was developed in 1995, more than 100 countries have collected data using MICS, including large populous countries such as India and China, and we have conducted practically 230 surveys. So, which means that some countries have conducted MICS surveys more than once. And overall, we have a population coverage that is about 33% of the world population have been covered by the MICS surveys. A few words on the MICS methodology. The survey tools, meaning the questionnaires, for instance, are developed by UNICEF in consultation with relevant expert groups from United Nations organizations and also from others. But UNICEF provide the tools, develop the tools, but the implementation of the survey is done at the country level. And this is something that is very important for us, and I would like to stress, is the government ownership of the whole process, including the original decision to conduct the surveys is done by the government. So the government approached UNICEF with a request to have support for the development and implementation of the survey. And what UNICEF does, UNICEF provides technical assistance in the forms of training, capacity building. We provide the tools, so the questionnaires, we provide financial support. But the ownership and the government participation is in every single stage of the survey, including not just the fieldwork, but also the analysis, the dissemination of the results. It's something that for us is very, very important. So I would say the technical assistance is in the form of trainings, but the implementation, including sample size determination, stratification, and decision about what data to collect on which topics is also done by the government. And when I say the government, the National Statistical Office, in collaboration with the Ministry of Health, normally the Ministry of Education, so on and so forth. The first time that we develop a tool and we offer countries the possibility to collect information on child disability within the context of MICS was during the second round. So that happened around, as I said, 2000 and 2002. We had suggested a module, recommended a module, that I will explain later is the 10-question screen for disability. But I must say, the big challenge that we encountered in 2000 was the fact that although we had recommended one module, only 7 countries out of the 22 that wanted to collect data on disability did so using the same questionnaire. So the majority of countries included significant modification to the TQ or use a completely different questionnaire. And this was extremely challenging, not only because we were not necessarily able to provide support to the same quality, because some of the tools were actually developed at the country level without the necessary process of testing and validation, but also because when we received the results, we did not know how to interpret the results because the variation in the prevalence was so big that it was very, very difficult for us to understand exactly how the results. During the third round of MICS, because of the experience that we had with the previous round, we really stressed and recommended the use of one tool that at the time we felt comfortable in saying this is the tool that we would recommend given the availability of the lack of, let's say, alternatives at the time. This is the tool that we recommend for use, and it's the 10-question screen. So out of the 26 countries that decided to collect data on disability, all of them did so using the same questionnaire. But the same questionnaire was obviously translated in many different languages, and specifically the same questionnaire was translated in 19 languages, and this created a problem that I will highlight at a later stage. Thanks to the inclusion of the TQ as part of MICS, MICS has become the largest source of internationally comparable data on child disability for low and middle income countries. This map, unfortunately, is not that clear, but show the country that participated in MICS in 2005 and 2006, and among these countries, those who also collected data on disability. And these are the countries in blue with the little white dots. Unfortunately, the map cannot zoom into some of the countries, because some of the countries that actually did collect data are quite small, so it's quite difficult to see them. But 26 countries in low and middle income countries collected data in 2005 and 2006. So the module that we included in MICS, as I was saying, is the TQ. And as many of you know, was developed by a team of scientists for use in countries where resources are pretty low, especially meant for low and middle income countries. The validity of the TQ has been tested in different epidemiological surveys, essentially in 3 countries, Bangladesh, Pakistan, and Jamaica, with the samples of around 22,000 children. This module looks specifically at activity limitation and participation restrictions within the framework of the ICF. It's composed of 10 different questions that are addressed to the parent. Actually, in the case of MICS, we ask this question to the mother of the child, and if the mother is not alive or is not residing in the same household, to the primary caregiver of the child. The format is yes or no, so there is no frequency, it's just yes or no format. It focuses on universal abilities. We try to, when it was conceived, was done with the idea of using it across countries and across cultures. Of course, it relies on the caregiver ratings of a child development and behavior. It's applicable for children 2 to 9, specifically, and has shown in the past not to be gender biased. Specifically, the child 2 to 9 is assessed with reference to the following domains. So the mother is asked if the child has delay in sitting, standing, or walking, seeing, hearing, understanding instructions, walking or moving arms, if the child has fits or become rigid, if the child has problems in learning things, in speaking, and we have age-specific questions, specifically in the case of speaking, and if the child appears mentally backward or slow. Not my favorite questions, I must say, even from the point of view of the wording, very disturbing to me, but anyway. Some consideration on the TQ. The TQ was originally conceived as a screening tool. And the recommendation is that, clearly, for those screening positive, a second assessment is needed from a professional diagnostic point of view. The validity of the TQ has only been established for relatively severe disability. And in the process of testing and validating this module, it was clear that the sensitivity of the tool is quite low for mild disability, for vision and hearing disabilities in general. And the overall positive predictive value is around 20-25%. It was also clear that this tool cannot be used for establishing prevalence by type, because the mother can actually identify one problem but not necessarily understand the origin of the same problem. And the validity has not been established for behavioral disabilities such as autism and attention deficit disorders. So this is essentially the design of the module. So we have 10 questions that are applied to the whole sample. Thanks to the screening, you identify those who screen positive according to the mother judgment. We expect this to be between 10 and 20%. And then a negative of 80-90%. All those who screen positive plus a random selection of those screening negative are expected to go through a medical assessment as a second stage, because the medical assessment is meant to isolate the cases of false negative, for instance, or false positive. However, none of the 26 countries in mixed 3 that collected data on disability, none of them implemented the medical assessment. So we did not quite know what to do with the results. So as a first go, we decided to do a data analysis and see what were the data telling us just based on the first screening. And we conducted this study in collaboration with the University of Wisconsin, and specifically with Maureen Durkin, who is among those scientists who developed the TQ to begin with. So we did the data analysis for 20 of these 26 countries. The total number of children for which we had data, as you can see, is quite big. 200,000 children. These are those in the sample, of course. So the completion rate was relatively high for all the countries. We did sort of an analysis and evaluation of the data quality, which concluded that the 10 questions are internally reliable. But we also identified that just based on the data analysis, that some of the questions were particularly problematic. Because, for instance, the question on understanding instruction was misunderstood during the field work, especially when the question was translated into French. We had to intervene during one of the field work, for instance, because it was perceived by the interviewers themselves as a lack of compliance with a behavior, so with a behavioral issue, not necessarily an issue related to disability, for instance. In the case of Montenegro, Serbia, and Thailand, when we did the analysis, we noticed that practically more than 90% of children were screening positive to this specific question. So we assumed that this was a problem with reversing the code, that could be addressed by reversing the code, but this question was very problematic. I see that I have 1 minute and I have like probably 10 slides in front of me. So let me quickly go through this. The objective of this analysis was, of course, trying to see what the data were telling us in reference to that, but also trying to see what can be done with this data, given the fact that we were not able to complete the data collection with the second stage. So we look at the prevalence, we look at prevalence by characteristics of the child, we try to cross-analyze the data on the disability status as referred by the mother, together with other variables like, for instance, nutrition, breastfeeding, salt iodization, vitamin A, We look at the school attendance for children who screen positive and screen negative. We look at the use of certain violent disciplinary practice and see if there is a difference between children who screen positive and screen negative. But at the end of the day, what we are trying to see is exactly how we can use this data eventually without the medical assessment. Here is some results. These are the prevalence for the 20 countries. We were very surprised by the results, because the results are much higher in terms of prevalence of disability as defined by percentage of those screening positive to the TQ than expected. It's not between the 10-20 that we were expecting. We are talking here about 25-35. And you can clearly see a couple of outliers, but the majority of countries really go between practically 15-20% and 35%. We were really taken by surprise. And I let you imagine the reaction at the country level. How is it possible that in Central African Republic we have 44% of children screen positive? It was very difficult for us to be able to interpret these findings, also given the large variation. A lot of variation also internally within the countries. And this is the example of Sierra Leone. We go from 14% to 37%, and when we were trying to interpret this at the country level, we were not really able to come up with a convincing conclusion. So I'll skip on the additional findings, just to say that some of the findings were a little bit counterintuitive. So the recommendation for the next stage of the data collection is that we felt we needed to have the second stage. Because once we had the second stage, we at least can reduce the false positive that for us was probably one of the reasons behind this very high level of prevalence. So for the current round of mix, it was recommended that only the country that were ready, they had the commitment and the resources to do the medical assessment, would collect data on disability. And five countries expressed an interest: Bhutan, Mongolia, Macedonia, Belize, and Moldova. And these countries are now in different stages of the process. Bhutan is the only country out of these five that has completed both phases of the data collection. They did the first data collection of the screening based on the parents, but they also completed the medical assessment. The other countries, Macedonia, completed the medical assessment 2 days ago. And the other countries will conduct the medical assessment in the next future. And this is my last slide. Of course, I won't have time to go into the details, but what I can already say is that the medical assessment proved to be extremely complex. These are countries with very low, limited resources. And when I say limited resources, in Belize, we were not able to find the number of doctors we needed to do the medical assessment. We are now thinking of importing doctors from other countries in the Caribbean to do the medical assessment, for instance. And the other challenge that we notice is very complicated logistically, because this means that you have to do you have to go back to the families. You have to do it quickly, because family can move, or the child can, after a year, of course you find him in a different stage of his development. But also complicated, imagine the size of a country like Mongolia. You have to do a medical assessment in a country that is so big, and you have to go around with like this mobile unit of doctors imported from another country, speaking a different language. So we are not giving up, let's put it this way. What we want to do is now work for to develop a standardized methodology, because what we also notice is that when the TQ, the medical assessment, was done in a few countries, it was done by using completely different screening tools. Here again, very different results, we don't know how to interpret it. So we are trying to develop a standardized methodology, including standardized tools for the medical assessment that can be used cross-nationally. And we are now in the process of identifying an institution who can help us with the development of this tool. And we hope to be able to finalize the work in 2012. This is our website, childinfo.org, where you will find updates in the area of child disability and the work that we are doing in the area of measurement. Thank you. I will be happy to answer your questions later.